Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. In the first Hot Mess Room podcast, we talked about all of the things that most people have in their storage room. Holiday decorations, overflow of items that go in the kitchen. In last week's Hot Mess Room podcast, I talked about as many things as I possibly could that we are saving just in case. These are not items that have significant memorable value, except maybe the furniture. And they're not items that are passion projects like crafts. They're just stuff. All the random stuff that gets put in that spare bedroom or office or basement or garage, it just gets set there because someday we might need it. And what I really wanted you to think about last week is, number one, you're not a store. It's a home. We're living in a home. We don't want to feel like a gerbil in a cage. We want to feel like we're living in a home that's decorated the way we want it decorated and has in it the things that we are using on a regular basis. The two questions I had you ask yourself when you were looking at these items in your storage area was, number one, do you use this item, you just don't use it very frequently, like 1 to 4 times a year? Fine, great. Find an offsite storage solution for it. Or you don't use it 1 to 4 times a year, but you're saving it for a specific person for a specific date in the future. That was the qualifier. We are going to use a similar qualifier in this week. And this week, I am tackling the discussion about crafts. Now, one of the reasons I have not tackled the hot mess room for the first 3 years of the podcast is because it's a hot mess room. I mean, there's a lot in there. And when there's so much in there and you walk in and get overwhelmed, if you can't pick out with your eye something that I'm talking about, then what I'm telling you in your ear is even more overwhelming because you can't match it to anything you see in your room. So I'm trying as much as possible to teleport myself into that space right next to you, and we're tackling this in the most logical fashion possible. First, we got all of the holiday decorations done. Then we got all of the items that we do use on a regular basis, like holiday items a few times a year, organized as best as possible. Then we took anything that was a family member's or our own that we are saving for a specific date in the future, got those labeled in boxes. And then we went through all of the random things last week. Now I want to talk to you about crafts. And in addition to talking about crafts, that again is going to open up a can of worms because you may be a knitter, while I am obviously a scrapbooker. And someone else might be someone who loves to do hodgepodge or painting, or their craft may be woodworking, or just so many options of crafts out there. And creative people tend to have a lot of stuff to go with their crafts, and they usually like more than one craft. So even if I were to talk about one specific craft, you may have 3, 4, 5, 10 different kinds of crafts in your hot mess room, office, bedroom, basement, garage, whatever area you're in where you tend to do crafting. First, I want you to start with the end in mind. Let's say you're going to have one whole week in your house. All your family members are going somewhere else that you don't even want to go. So you're not sad that you're not going. You're happy that you're staying home for one whole week. You're not allowed to do work, whether you work for yourself or work for someone else. Like, the office is closed. You can't go to the office. Someone has prepared all of your food for you this week, so you don't even have to worry about cooking, unless cooking is your craft. So your food is prepared for you. You don't have to worry about taking care of any other human beings, and you don't have to do any work, and you're not going to lose any money this week. Like, it's not like your income is going to go down. So it's like I'm giving you a pretend 7 days. It's like where I'm stopping time and you get 7 days to work on your craft. And then when you're done, that 7 days is up, everything goes back to the normal way it was. Oh my gosh. We should stay here for a second in this la la land. Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh my gosh. First thing I'm thinking is, how can I possibly scrapbook and do a jigsaw puzzle at the same time? How do I divide my time between scrapbooking and jigsaw puzzling? Is Culver's still open during this imaginary time freezing so that I can get onion rings? All right, back to reality. We are going to have this 7-day time frame. First of all, we know this isn't going to happen, but let's just pretend that it is, that you're going to get this 7-day time frame. Now, look in your room. Right. 7 years you couldn't use all the craft supplies that are in here. Like, you have so much in here that even if you had 7 days to craft, you'd spend the entire 7 days organizing the stuff that you already have. I need to have you have this reality check, because otherwise you're setting yourself up for unrealistic expectations, which I've told you I am the queen of, so I know. I had so many scrapbook supplies. So many. I started making scrapbooks for people. There was one lady, I made 21 albums of her husband who had passed away. He had a political career. Just this last month, I had already stopped doing albums for people at the end of 2017. And one of my past clients reached out to me and she said, "Oh, please, you did my one child, but not my other three kids, and they need albums too." I said, "All right, if you send me everything in February, I will do it." So in a couple weeks in February, I did 11 albums. Now, first of all, it tells you a lot. Anyone who could get 11 albums done in like half a month is a serious scrapbooker. I am a serious scrapbooker. I have created more than 500 albums at this point, 100 that are my own, and more than 400 that I've created for other people. No, I do not do scrapbooking anymore. I actually love it. I really, really love it. The thing that happens is I run out of time and I get really cranky with my family because I end up still working, and so my family gets the brunt of it. So I can't do scrapbooking. I made 11 scrapbooks and I never went to the store. That's a lot of scrapbooking supplies. But I have purposefully over the last 2 years been whittling down my scrapbooking supplies. And now once these 11 albums are done, she actually commissioned me to do them last September. So I had pre-bought some supplies, which is why I didn't need to buy anything. But I have worked down my, I didn't really even put stickers in these albums. I think 3 or 4 per album. I didn't put many stickers. I do use decorative paper, but I use it as borders. I use solid paper when I back pictures. Pretty much, you can scrapbook without a lot of all the extras, because the thing that should be beautiful in your scrapbooks are the pictures. And when you focus on the pictures, the right paper just enhances the pictures as opposed to being little mini craft projects. So I've made a lot of albums, but what I have realized at this stage in my life, I am going to be 46 this year. Am I going to be 46? Yeah, I'm going to be 40. I always forget how old I am. You know, when it's not like one of the big years, you're in the middle. I'm like in the middle of the 40s now, somewhere in the middle of the 40s. I have an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old. My kids' scrapbook albums, I stopped in eighth grade. I did not make them high school albums for two reasons. Number one, I don't have a lot of photos of them anymore. We don't have a good camera anymore. We only use our phones. They have a lot of their pictures, but they don't send them to me. They have past boyfriend and girlfriends in the pictures, and as soon as they break up, they don't want those in any of their pictures. I remember that happening to me as well. So pretty much I did my kids' art school memories items through eighth grade and their scrapbooks through eighth grade, but I haven't done their high school, and I don't really feel any guilt about that. And last summer, I had someone that drove the kids around and also helped me with laundry and around the house, and she scanned all 100 of our photo albums. After she scanned some of them, I got rid of them. Like, there were some that were just like, I made them like for my business or whatever. I just got rid of the albums. I didn't need them anymore. A lot of them I scanned knowing I would use with the kids' graduation parties. You know how you have those little slideshows? I knew I would have that done in advance. So pretty much I have enough stuff to maybe do one more family album, but I don't really need to do any more scrapbooking. The next time that I will really scrapbook is when my kids have kids. And so there's nothing left for me to scrapbook. Now, I did think about I want to make albums. Greg's dad has asked me numerous times to make him albums. And I said to Greg, I would like to do that for his birthday this year, get all of his stuff and make him albums. So I will still make albums for people as gifts. But for the most part, me making photo albums is no longer a craft that I do on a regular basis. So I am going to keep this stuff so that I can make things for, you know, family members or gifts here and there. But I don't need to keep the quantity of supplies that I used to have. At this point, I have two cover sets, which are the outsides of scrapbooks, and enough stuff to do the insides of two black albums, which is what I'm going to do for my father-in-law. And that is the only album-making supplies I have. I do have paper, but when I just did those last 11 albums, I whittled that paper way down because I'm using top-loading sheets now instead of actual scrapbook pages. Our Memories for Life has top-loading sheets now, and I really like them. So I went from, I don't know, three different containers of paper down to 1.5. I'm not going to be laying out 20 albums at a time anymore, and I use these things called power layout sheets. So I used to have enough where I could literally lay out 16 albums at a time. I'm going to trim that down to five albums that I can lay out, and I'm going to get rid of the rest. I have a small collection of stickers that I do like that I'm keeping, and then all my trimming tools like paper trimmers and how you cut into circles and things like that. I have a tape runner with three refills, and that's it, because the tape after a while gets bad. So the next time I'm going to make an album, I'll buy more tape. That's it. Now, my scrapbooking supplies used to take up two very large closets in the basement, and I've moved it all into an armoire in my loft. I'm telling you all of these details so that you can hear how I went from basically a full-time business doing scrapbooks to where it truly is a hobby that maybe I'll make an album or two per year. Now, I'll be honest, even telling you that, I'm like, oh, I just got done making 11 albums. It was super fun. Like, I really, really love doing it. But I just don't have the time right now to do it. And personally, we don't have the photos to make those kind of albums anymore. And you might say, oh, you could do other family members' albums. No, all my sister's photos are done. All my mother's photos are done. All my mother's mother's photos are done. All my mother's 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 photos are done. All my dad's photos are done. All of his, I mean, all the way back to the 1800s people. It's all in albums. There's nothing left to do. If I'm not doing them anymore for other people, there's nothing left to do. I'll tell you about another craft I had. My mother is an artist. She went to Purdue University and got an art degree. And one of the things that she does is she makes rubber stamp cards. So does Pat, my executive assistant. She does rubber stamp cards too. They're gorgeous. They're beautiful. Because my mom did it, I collected rubber stamps. And I would, by collecting, I mean, I bought them. I didn't make that many stamp projects, but I have all of the stuff. I have all the embossing powders. I have all the stamp pads. They're probably dry by now. I had hundreds of stamps. And my grandfather he lived until he was 103. He made a nativity cradle for baby Jesus in the front hall. I've shown you that before when I talked about what to save when someone passes away. I had my grandpa make this for me. It is like a life-size cradle for a baby doll. And it goes in our front hall. I love it. That's what I haven't had him made for me. What he made for my mom were all of these custom wooden stamp shelves. And I think she had like six of them. And I asked him to make me one as well because I was collecting these stamps, which he did, which I had in my basement with my stamps on it. Now, I have made cards with stamps before. It's been at least a decade. And when I made cards with stamps, I did it to save money. I was doing it to save money and to have a project to do. So I would make thank you cards, and I would also make Christmas cards. And every year I would buy a new Christmas stamp, and I would do the whole embossing thing where embossing is where you make a stamp on a piece of paper and you pour some looks like powdered sugar on top, and you run it under a hairdryer, and then it puffs up and it makes a raised stamp. And I would decide what my Christmas card was going to be. Then I would make like 150 of those, and then I would mail them out with a cute picture of our children. I have not done this in 15 years. Craig says we're doing Christmas cards next year, but if you've listened to the podcast, you know that I say that every year and then we don't do it. So I finally last summer, I was going around decluttering, and I was like, you know what? I have not stamped in 15 years. My daughter, I thought, might want to take up stamping. She doesn't. She's never stamped either. And the only reason I was holding on to all these stamps were, one, because I'd spent a lot of money on them. Two, because they were adorably cute. Like, they're super, super cute. And wouldn't you want to make a card out of it? And I realized, no, I would never want to make a card out of it. Because the only way I make a card is embossing, and these stamps would look adorable if you colored them in with the pencil, which I'm not doing. And three, because I had this gorgeous piece of furniture that my grandfather had handmade, and he has since passed away, and it was holding up all these expensive things I already paid for. So I thought, Lisa, this is crazy. You're not going to make cards with stamps. You're never going to use these. Like, this is a piece of art now in your basement. So I did two things. Number one, I sent all of the stamps up to my mom, because if she didn't want them, then she knew who did want them. And she stamps with all kinds of people who would like more stamps. So I got rid of all except for maybe 20 stamps. I did keep 20. And then I physically took that stamp holder off of the wall, and I asked my sister, would you like this stamp holder? To which she said, yes, because she didn't have anything that grandpa had made. And I had the baby Jesus cradle and this stamp thing, because when he was alive, I had asked for both of them to be made. So she was super, super happy to be getting something that grandpa had made, which she did want, and she did have stamps for it. So in that case, in that craft, I got rid of everything. I did keep a few things. I have a few stamps. One is a little baby hand. I do like to make a card when people have a baby. I haven't done it recently, but I could totally see myself doing that in the future, just making that kind of a card or a thank you card. I did keep my embossing gun and this cool little stand I have for it, and all of my embossing powders, because they don't go bad. All of this fits in a shoebox. That's all that I have left. I used to have a whole bookcase full of stuff for stamping. Those are two examples of crafts that I used to be very into, and I'm making the decision right now, how into that craft am I currently, and how much will I be in that craft in the future? So as you're looking at your crafts, I want you to go ahead and relive the memories of your old interest in that craft. Really press into right now, what is your current need, desire, and excitement for doing that craft? And what is your future desire for that craft? One more I'll tell you about is I love to do counted cross stitch, because it's like a puzzle that's permanent. I have a lot of counted cross stitch in my house. I've done counted cross stitch for my mom. My mom has given counted cross stitch as gifts throughout the years, and she and my sister has given me some as well. And we're just really busybodies, I guess, with our hands. So we like counted cross stitch. And when you do counted cross stitch, you use these different flosses, these different, you know, you make friendship bracelets out of them too, those colored yarns. They're called floss. And each one has a number to it. And I'm really good at collecting stuff that goes with crafts. I'm sure you are too. So when I was doing, when you're doing a counted cross stitch, you buy a pattern and then you buy all the colors of the flosses that you need for that pattern. And then, you know, one out of 100 times you actually make the pattern. But you always buy all the flosses because that's part of buying the pattern. Well, I organized mine and I have all of my flosses labeled by number in these little bags on this big ring, and they're in order. So if I were to go do a counted cross stitch, I already own some of the flosses. Now, these flosses are, I don't know, $1, $2. They might even be 60 cents. They're not expensive. The sum total of everything I have saved is less than $100 for sure. And I have it in this Vera Bradley bag that my mom got me when I was like 14, when I was doing counted cross stitch. I have all the flosses and I have that, and I have a couple of the hoops that I use to do counted cross stitch. Now, the last time I did counted cross stitch was when Joey was a baby before Abby was born. And I am staring right now at the sampler I did. It's called A Virtuous Woman, and it's Proverbs 31. And I have it hanging over my bathtub, and I look at it every day. Since I made that sampler 17 years ago, I have not counted a stitch. I haven't done a single one. If you gave me 7 days, I would not go start a cross-stitch thing at all. In the near future, I cannot imagine a time when I would do counted cross stitch. There's no way. I'm way more interested in growing Organized 365 than making another cross stitch sampler, and I'm not really into cross stitch right now. However, I can totally see a time in the future when I'm dividing my time between puzzles and counted cross stitch. Totally, I could see that. Where I'm cross stitching, you know, my way on airplanes across Europe or whatever. Totally, totally could see that being something I do in the future. I've gotten rid of all of the, I think it's called muslin, I don't know, whatever it is you do counted cross stitch on, I got rid of all of that. I only kept the floss and the bag my mom gave me 30 years ago to keep the floss in. I'll probably upgrade the bag eventually, but right now it doesn't matter. When I see that bag in my storage room, I know that has the counted cross stitch in it. What are the crafts that you're currently looking at? Are they something that you are currently going to do, or is it like counted cross stitch that, or stamping, where that was fun, I did it in the past, I have no desire to do it currently, and when I look out into the future, the odds of me doing it are very, very slim, or it's 40 years out. Like 40 years out is when I'm planning on doing counted cross stitch again. If something were to happen and someone would have to clean out my storage room for me, they're going to find one bag with floss in it. They're going to find one shoebox with stamping stuff in it. It will be very random. It will be something they could easily get rid of. I don't have bins and bins and bins of stamping stuff and a big bin of counted cross-stitch stuff because I'm not going to need it in the future and no one else needs to clean it out of my storage room. Now, I do have more scrapbooking stuff because that's something that I enjoy doing. I probably will continue to make albums here and there. I feel I'm very good at scrapbooking. I think if you make 500 scrapbooks, you get somewhat of an expertise in doing it. And so I could see many times in the future where people will need an album made or I will want to make someone an album for a gift, and I'll be happy that I have all the supplies to make a couple albums at one time. That's something that I can literally pull it out, make an album, and be done in 2 days and put it all away again. Currently, Organize 365 is my main craft. Like, it's the main thing that I want to spend my time doing. And I used to do a puzzle a year, and now I only do it at the beach. Like at the beach, I do a puzzle. I don't even do one around Christmas anymore just because there's so much other stuff going on. So let's talk about puzzles. I would say puzzles are crafts. For me, I have a photographic memory, and puzzles are probably the oldest craft I've ever done. I've done puzzles ever since I was a little kid. I love puzzles. It's something I would, if you gave me 7 days, I would definitely start a puzzle instantly. And it's something I see myself doing long into the future. However, I only have 5 puzzles in my house. I have the wooden puzzle that I got that my grandmother bought for me, probably 25 years ago when we were together, which I found in her storage room when she passed away last year. It's a 2,000 piece wooden puzzle. It took me a month and I did it on our dining room table. It was so awesome. The dog ate 2 of the pieces though. I'm not very happy about that. And I put it back in its gold box. It's called a gold box puzzle and they still have them. I think I'm going to get another one. That I have. I will always keep that puzzle and I will probably do it every, I would say 5 or 10 years. I'll probably get out that puzzle and do that puzzle again. There's also another puzzle I've done 2 or 3 times. Again, my grandmother bought me this one about 20 years ago. It's a 2,000 piece puzzle of a hot air balloon. I've done that one a couple of times. I've kept that one too. And then there's another puzzle that I like that I have. It's called a family puzzle. It has big chunky pieces for the young kids in your family. It has medium-sized pieces for the grade school age kids in your family, and it has regular little puzzle pieces for the adults in your family, so that it's 550 pieces. I think it's called Stuffed Full of Love or something like that, and it's a puzzle that the whole family can do together at the holidays. I've kept that one too because I love that one. Those are the only 3 puzzles that I have kept. For the most part, I get a puzzle, I do it, I give it to my mother-in-law or she gives me hers, and then I give it away. There's no reason for me to keep puzzles because I have a photographic memory and I literally remember how the puzzle pieces go together. So if I do a puzzle a second time, it's not as exciting or challenging for me because I can literally remember which pieces go together. I know it's so odd, but because I know that about myself, there's no point in keeping puzzles that I've already done. Also, sometimes you know, people who do puzzles will give you puzzles. Sometimes they'll give me a puzzle and I don't really have an interest in doing that puzzle and I totally just give it away. I know. How dare I? But, you know, I just told you I only have time to do a puzzle maybe once a year. And I already told you I love to do puzzles. So if I only have time to do it once a year and I love to do puzzles, why would I do a puzzle that I'm not really excited about doing? How excited are you to do the crafts that you're saving? Some of the scrapbook paper at the end of this 11 albums, knowing that I was really closing down my photo album part of my business, I actually threw out whole pads of paper. I know. Whole colors, like there were some cream colors I didn't like. There were some blue shades I didn't like. There were some pattern papers I didn't like. I just took a whole bunch of them and I just recycled them. Oh my goodness. I paid for that paper, you know. Yes, I paid for that paper, but I don't have to live the rest of my life and have to use up paper that I don't like. Like, I don't like it, and I'm not going to make very many more albums, so I might as well just keep the things I love and I know I'm going to use. This is really how I want you to approach your crafts. How much do you love the craft that you're looking at? Is it a craft you used to love? If it's a craft you used to love, you don't currently love it, and you don't see any plan in doing it in the future, give 90% of it away. Keep the tools, keep your favorite, you know, your favorite 20 stamps, your favorite sets of stickers, your favorite skeins of yarn, but give 90% of it away. If it's not a craft that if I gave you 7 miraculous days where everybody else was frozen in time and you could do whatever you want and you're not going to do those, then give it away. It's okay. You can buy it again. Furthermore, when you do have the time to do it, if you only have 20 stamps and you happen to want to buy a new stamp, well, you only have 20. You can buy one new stamp. You could buy some new stickers. You could buy one new tool. And sometimes we hold on to all of these things that we have bought in the past 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years of collecting this craft. Hello, things change. I mean, stamps now are clear, which is so cool. You can like center them and press them down. All of my stamps are wooden. I can't see anything when I put through there. I would like to have the clear ones now. And if I ever got back into stamping, I'd like to take, you know, $50 or $100, buy some new stamp pads that actually have juice in them, buy 5 new stamps and some new papers, and really enjoy that craft. I shouldn't have to be beholden to the stamps I bought in my late teens and early 20s when I get back into stamping in my 50s. Like, I'm allowed to buy new stamps. Just because it didn't wear out doesn't mean you have to use it for the rest of your life. Somebody else would like to use these crafts. Who, Lisa? Who wants to use my crafts? Well, let me just tell you. Clubs and organizations would love to have craft supplies, especially for young kids. Daycare centers would use those wooden stamps with kids. Schools would, children's hospital would, regular hospitals, maybe retirement community centers would. Where are people who are doing crafts that would like some variety in what they're doing? Scrapbooking paper? Yes, please. There are going to be daycares and preschools and retirement homes. They would love to have your scrapbooking paper. They would love to have your extra stickers. Another craft that these kids could do. What about the homeless shelters? They have a lot of kids at the homeless shelters. What if you found out that there are 35 kids in this homeless shelter and you made 35 Ziploc baggies where each one got a stamp pad and a stamp and some stickers and some paper? And you got to take it over to the homeless shelter. Now are you excited about your craft supplies? They do so much better for other people who are looking for something to do, you know, looking for community, looking for, you know, to feel better while they're not feeling well. It does so much better for them to be using your craft supplies than for you to be racking your brain about when am I going to use this? And oh my gosh, it cost so much when I bought it, but I don't really want to use it again. Just let it go. Let it go. And then when you have this miraculous 7 days of freedom and you want to do a craft, have you been to a craft store lately? Just go to a craft store and go up and down the aisles and see what new stuff is out there. New papers, new stickers, new kinds of yarn, new tools. A lot of it's the same. A lot of it stays the same. I have my sewing machine and I have one box full of all the different colored threads. But when my mom made the prototype for the Sunday basket last year, she was sewing and I was standing there and I went through and I just threw away almost everything. I'm never going to put a zipper in something. Are you kidding me? Zippers gone. I had this, I think it's called bias tape. It's what you sew into something. First of all, clearly I don't do it well. I used it on the outside of bibs. I sewed my kids' baby bibs. You know, when they eat, the little bibs they wear. I also sewed their little pajamas. I wasn't good at it, but it was a fun craft. I was in my 20s. I didn't have much else to do. So I sewed things on this sewing machine. So I have the sewing machine and I have a bunch of the colors of threads because to me, that's like a staple. That's like owning a crock pot or owning a mixer. Like it's something that as a homeowner, I need once in a while to pull out a sewing machine. Like if I want my mom to make a Sunday basket prototype for me. So glad I had all of the supplies. But she said the kind of bias tape or whatever it was, she said the kind I had is horrible and it's terrible to use. And I went, great. I grabbed it and threw it in the trash. Because why am I holding on to it if it's not even the kind that the person who knows how to sew will sew with? Because I don't know how to sew that well. Straight lines, people, straight lines. So I got rid of zippers. I got rid of bias tape that doesn't work. I got my thread down to a manageable amount of thread in normal colors of the clothing that we wear. And that's what I kept. I kept some thread. I kept a box. It's about double the size of a shoebox and my sewing machine. Can you get your crafts down to a manageable amount? A shoebox, a large shoebox, plus the machine. And can you do that for the majority of your crafts? And then just the ones that you're super passionate about or currently using, go hog wild if you want. The most expensive kind of organizing I was ever hired to do as a professional organizer was to organize craft rooms. And to organize a craft room always took 4 times as long as any other space we would organize and always required buying specialized organizing solutions for that room. So if somebody wanted me to organize their kid's bedroom, I could do that for, you know, a couple $100. If they wanted me to organize their craft room, didn't matter what kind of craft it was. We have done yarn, we've done sewing, we've done a bunch of scrapbook rooms, we've done stamps, we've done them all. I would start with $1,500 with my estimate. I'd be like, this is going to take 2 to 3 days and $1,500. Because I knew I needed, you know, around $200 to $400 just for the kind of organizers we would need to really sort out all of that yarn, all of that paper, all of those stamps, all of the stuff you're holding on to. So if you think it is expensive that you have all of these items in your storage area and you don't want to get rid of them because of the cost of the item, think about how expensive it's going to be to truly organize them. This is the one area of organizing. Normally I say, oh, just use what you have. You don't have to buy a special organizer. It's not true with crafts. If you're going to organize a craft, it's almost like a mini work. Like, you know, work has a different way of being organized. Crafts do too. And if you're really into any craft, there are always specialized organizers that they sell and you should buy them. Because those specialized organizers keep track of all the little tiny, I didn't even get into jewelry making. We've organized a couple of different jewelry makers. Wow. Talk about needing specialized organizers in order to organize a jewelry maker. They have so many little tiny intricate things that they need organized and so many tools. So really think about, are you saving your craft because you spent money on it one time? Or are you saving your craft because the whole entire reason you're organizing your house and your paper is so that you can get more time to do your crafting, which would be my mother. She loves to do her crafting. And I like to do crafting too, but I like growing a business more than I like crafting, which is what I finally realized. When I get to weekends and I'm like, oh, I really want to be working. My crafting is creating printables and binders and podcasts and things like that. And if that's the case for you too, then don't feel guilty about it. You don't have to have a craft that you're super into. So I would like you to think about, what is your most current craft that you want right now? And then also, how much can you get rid of because it's really not serving you? And if you're going to keep that craft, how are you going to organize it? one universal organization solution for crafts would be an IKEA. It's called a Kallax now. It used to be called Expedit shelving unit. It's those large 14-inch square cubbies. And they come, you know, 2x2 or 4x4 or 1x5. They come in all different configurations. That is the best universal storage for any kind of craft. We've used that in every craft that we've organized. We always use a cube system like that. Now, it used to be you could only get those from IKEA. Now you can get them. Walmart has the Better Homes and Gardens version. Target has a version. And someone, Anne, told me the other day, I think she said Target's version is a little bit taller than all the others. And it organizes scrapbook, not scrapbook paper, because it can be organized on any one, but it holds the scrapbook organization stuff better. If you are organizing scrapbook stuff, you should go to Michael's craft store if you're in the United States. They have the best organizing stuff for organizing scrapbooking. If you're organizing yarn and sewing, you should go to Joann Fabrics. They have the best organizers for yarn and sewing. Wherever you go to buy the supplies, they are also going to have the best organizers for organizing those supplies. If you're thinking, oh, I have that floss. I've never heard of that organizer Lisa was talking about for counted cross stitch. If you go to Joann Fabrics in their floss area where you can buy the floss, look up. They are going to have these little plastic, they're teeny tiny Ziploc bags, and they have a hole punch in them, and they go on a really large ring. I also have some of this linked up at organize365.com. If you click on products, I have all those Amazon links on there. There are a couple of there. But if you're into crafts and you have enough crafts in your hot mess room in order to organize them, I don't have to tell you where to find the organizers. You know where to find the organizers. So what do you have that is worthy of keeping organized? And the other thing that I would challenge you to do is finish some of these projects. How many projects do you have that are like 80% of the way done? Like, could you do one project a weekend until they're all done? What are we waiting for? When are we going to give this to somebody? What is the purpose of this craft? And what I finally realized was the purpose of the craft for me is because I'm a busybody and I like something to do. It's not actually that I do anything with it when I'm done. Literally, the second I put the last piece in a puzzle, like I don't even stop and look at the completed puzzle. I tear it up and I put it in the box. I forced myself lately to stop and look at the puzzle. I go, oh, the puzzle's done. Boom, take it apart. The whole point of doing a puzzle for me is to keep my brain entertained and put together the puzzle. It's not at the end to see the finished puzzle. When I was doing stamping, yes, it was to mail out those cards for Christmas, but I really liked the act of just stamping and putting the, creating all of those cards. You can throw them away. You don't have to mail them all out. You don't have to give it all away. You can throw away your completed projects. You don't have to keep them. I hope this has really made you think about all of your crafts differently. I know I kind of, I don't know. It's a hard one to talk about because we get so connected to stuff that we actually touched and purchased and has our creativity in it. Think about how hard it is for you to get rid of anything that your child brings home from school. They wrote their name on it. They're going to write their name on lots of things. You know, we don't have to keep everything that our kids do. We also don't have to keep everything that we do. All right, I'm giving you the freedom to let it go this week, to make a clean slate, to give it to other people, bless people in the retirement homes and the daycares and the hospitals and the clubs and the schools. Bless them with your crafts. I'm sure there are summer programs that are looking for these kinds of items that they can use over and over and over again. Have a great week. Next week, we're going to talk about memories.